Up next, the free busy show at calendarswamp.com. Hello, this is Scott.
Hi, this is River.
And this is Calendar Swamp Podcast number 6. It's been a long time.
Oh, yes.
So, why did I call this the Free Busy Show? And what is free busy? What is free busy?
I need to know when you're free, and I need to know when you're busy.
And the beauty of free busy is that it hides all the other details, unless you don't want them hidden, which will come up later in this podcast. What we mean is, say I want to share my calendar with River, but River doesn't want to see every little detail. She doesn't need to know where I am on a particular day. She doesn't need to know who I'm meeting with on a particular day. If I have a whole bunch of meetings strung together, she doesn't want to know that there's a whole bunch of meetings strung together. She just wants to know that I'm busy.
That's right. I just want a little nugget to tell me that you're not available, and I don't need to know that you've got 5 meetings before noon.
Now, if you have a product like iCal and the other people around you have the same product, this is something that has been available for a while. In 2003, when Outlook 2003 came out, there was such a thing as a Outlook Internet Free Busy service. You could publish your calendar to this service, which was a web page. The web page would show just when you were free and when you were busy. Here's where it gets interesting. At the end of 2004, without explanation, Microsoft discontinued the Internet Free Busy service for Outlook 2003. When you go to Microsoft's website, they have a lovely page there that says, "We don't provide this service anymore." But lots of calendar systems have provided it in the past. We don't know why Microsoft stopped doing it. I'm going to find out. But there is something new in the wind that will make Free Busy work, probably for the first time, across different calendaring systems, across Outlook and iCal. The story about this is that about a week and a half ago, I got an email from somebody named Neil Jensen. Now, Neil is a programmer who runs a website called ifreebusy.com, where you can log in, register yourself, and configure your calendar to send Free Busy information to his website. And at first, this wasn't working for me. I could not make Outlook do it at all. So we pondered this, and I suggested a nifty hack that put some of the information that his service was needing right into the URL. That's the www.whatever in the browser. And this apparently is going to allow a lot more Outlook users to use iFreeBusy, and I'm very proud of that. And Neil is jazzed because, as he said, it's a neat hack. For the first time, I can publish my Free Busy to this service, and because of a feature that iFreeBusy has, other people can then view my Free Busy, and by tacking on their own username to the URL, they can view both of our Free Busy times on a single calendar. It does this by color coding each time block. So, for instance, I did it with Neil, and one of his appointments comes up with a red dot, and my appointments come up with a black dot or some other color. And you can do several people this way. So this is pretty neat. This is starting to look like something that can make Free Busy work across different calendars. Now, it is very primitive. It doesn't have any privacy controls. There is, at this moment, no way to hide my Free Busy information from anybody who can figure out the URL, which I'm not going to give out in this podcast. But once you understand how iFreeBusy works, it's pretty easy to start plugging in people's names if you know they're registered or that they use it, and see they're free and busy. For that reason, I may, in fact, very soon stop publishing to iFreeBusy.com. But Neil and I have been talking, and Neil says, yeah, we could put in some privacy features, some authentication features. We could even get fancier later and put in something called an access control list. That would let me say which other iFreeBusy users could see my Free Busy time, and everybody else would be locked out. And We believe strongly, both River and I, that privacy is an integral part of calendaring.
And so maybe I'll share more of my calendar with you.
And in fact, if we solve this privacy problem with iFreeBusy, what you'd be able to do is sign up for your own iFreeBusy account, publish your FreeBusy to iFreeBusy, and then again, as I mentioned, they have this trick where we could view a single calendar with both our FreeBusys on it, provided we're both publishing to iFreeBusy.
But I'm not sure that I want to do that. Does that really make sense with iCal when I can just publish it and you can go look at it or bring it into your calendar?
Well, it depends on what you're using FreeBusy for, and this is a whole discussion in itself. I'll give you an idea of how I would use FreeBusy. Let's say that we were going to Macworld next week together, which is a very strong possibility, and I'd like to quickly try and figure out which day of the show would be the best for you and I to go together. What I might be able to do, if we were both publishing to this common FreeBusy calendar, is quickly pull up both our FreeBusy times on this one calendar and see, oh, we're both free Tuesday afternoon, for instance. And in that way, I could then go back to my calendar and invite you to come to Macworld with me. It's like scheduling a meeting. And I would have the advantage of knowing ahead of time that you were free at that time and that I am free at that time without having to toggle between two calendars.
So how do I get iCal into FreeBusy?
Well, I believe that the way iCal works is going to be similar to the way that Outlook worked, in that you can publish your FreeBusy time in iCal to something that iFreeBusy understands. It might be a web page, it might be something else, but there's some trick that lets iCal calendars, and that would include Mozilla Calendar and other iCal compliant calendars, do this. Now, I haven't done it yet, so it sounds like this is a work item for our next podcast to see if it works. But we want to play around probably with dummy data because, as I mentioned, there's no privacy control at the moment.
And that's a great concern.
Well, it is because, frankly, if I were somebody who had bad intent, I might want to know when somebody is busy or not busy and plan my skullduggerous plans around that fact. So I think that the calendaring community, including Neil, is sensitive to this. There are obviously other scenarios, other usages of iFreeBusy. Say you want to just simply know when a room is free at, say, even in a business or some organization, you could make the room have its own calendar and then see when the room is free and busy. And I've seen that happen in other calendars before. The innovation here would simply be that now you could do it and have it viewed by dissimilar kinds of calendars, Outlook and iCal. Before I go on, I want to mention that as of my last podcast here, I was not yet able to hook Outlook into my email service such that I could send you invitations. I have since licked this problem, and it primarily consisted of me figuring out the right configurations to set in Outlook that let me send those invitations out as emails. And what I wanted to make sure was that it simply did not begin to act as a mailbox for that email account. And I figured that out. So now it never reads any email, but it does occasionally pop out an email. So now I can send you invitations from my calendar, my Outlook calendar. You receive them as email messages. They include attachments. I believe you can click on those attachments and open them. I don't know, where do they open?
It opens in the calendar and it asks me if I want to add your information.
So this is great. And I believe you can also reply and you can either accept or decline, correct?
That's correct. I think you can even say tentative.
And that's good. Now for the bad news. In my copy of Outlook 2003, I am still not able to read your invitations from iCal. Something isn't working. We know that there are people out there for whom this is working. This seems to be simply a reliability problem in Outlook. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Now let's talk about something else that we've been talking about beyond this FreeBusy capability, which would create another new level of usefulness to it. Let's say that we have two FreeBusy calendars and you're even able to view them on a single page and that you're even able to do it securely and privately. That's great. But let's go back to our Macworld scenario. On your calendar, you're going to Macworld. on Tuesday. On my calendar, I'm going to Macworld on Tuesday. In the free busy calendar, you're going to see my calendar showing that I'm busy at that time. I'm going to see your calendar showing you're busy at that time. But in reality, we're actually having a meeting. We're together at that point going to the show. So what would be good is to have a modified free busy calendar where anytime there's a block of my busy time that you're actually participating in, it doesn't display it as I'm busy. It displays it as you and I have a meeting. So up in the middle of this free busy calendar would pop actual appointments as you would see in a normal calendar.
Right, so you would be red, I would be blue, and together we'd be purple.
Or whatever. But the point is there'd be no confusion. You wouldn't be suddenly wondering if I'd double booked myself or if I'd scheduled something else by mistake. Now, I mentioned this to Neil, and he said, yeah, that's an interesting thing to look at. And I've also mentioned it to somebody who I've recently interviewed for an upcoming episode of IT Conversations. Her name is Lisa Dassault, and she works at the Open Software Applications Foundation, or OSAF. They are building an open-source calendaring system. Actually, it's several components. There's a server named Cosmo, there's a client named Chandler, and there's a web client named Scooby. And these are still in development. Lisa is also involved with a lot of other calendaring activities. So I'll put in a plug here for my show, which should be up sometime in the next month. She can see the need for some kind of modified free busy that, again, would expose these particular appointments where somebody really wants to see, in addition to somebody else's busy time, they do want to see the common appointments or the common meetings. This is good. This is the user community, people like you and me, telling some of the people building some of the stuff that this is what we need. And to me, that's been what Calendar Swamp has been all along since I started last June, is if we never tell the people building the calendar is what we want, we will never get it.
I agree.
There's a lot more work that needs to be done. There is some progress. I'm very pleased to see what Neil Jensen has been doing. I'm pleased to see that there seems to be a lot more attention in the press and in the blogosphere lately to calendaring. But there's a long way to go yet. What we need to hear from is everyone listening to this podcast. Send us your feedback. Send us a comment. Give us your suggestions. And, of course, let us know what your experiences have been. We don't claim to be the ultimate authorities on calendaring here. And a lot of this stuff is somewhat reinventing the wheel. If you go to look at some of these really sophisticated proprietary calendaring systems, they've had all this stuff licked for many years. I'd even appreciate it about hearing stories about some of those. But clearly, we're still trying to find that happy spot where everyone can agree these are the sorts of things we want to see in shareable calendars. And then, of course, people are going to have bells and whistles and things beyond that that will not make sense right now to try and share between different products. Again, just to make reference to something I've talked about in the past, task management, to-do lists. Those may find their way into every single calendar out there. But do we really absolutely need to have to share those between every different calendar out there today? I don't think so. What do you think?
I think that you probably are one of the top experts on calendaring. I don't think there could be too many other people who've thought more, spent more time thinking about this issue.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. But again, we got to watch it because some of the people who want to put this stuff out there, the technology, they're always looking for an angle. They're always looking for an edge. And they'll always want to say our product is better than the other one because... And even in the open source world, there's bragging rights. I know that Cosmo and Chandler are going to be very feature-rich when they come out. But the standards business and the sharing business, the interoperability business, are tricky things. You can't possibly support everything that every product does. And part of it is that some products just fundamentally work differently. So there may be irreconcilable differences between some calendar systems on some features. But I'm optimistic. It's 2006. It's a new year. I thought we made some good progress right at the end of the year. And there might even be some good progress on the Apple front this year if Apple can capitalize on the fact that they're going to be on Intel hardware and just maybe have a little bit of pressure from those Mac users out there, because it is true that Microsoft has done a poor job of this stuff. But Apple could always help its own situation by helping out a little bit from their end, too.
Happy calendar year.
And we hope that you have a great 2006. We'll probably return in a few weeks whenever circumstances warrant. But until then, this is Scott.
And this is River.
Thanks for listening. Swamp welcomes your audio comments or written comments. Send them to calendarswamp@gmail.com. For continuing calendar interoperability news and commentary, visit the Calendar Swamp blog at www.calendarswamp.com. Production facilities provided by Scott and River's Kitchen. Our theme music from the PodSafe Music Network is Mobius Triplet by The Core. Oh,